This is meant to appeal to stupid people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan. It's not just that the facts he's issuing are incorrect, it is that his cadence, his delivery, and the way he's presenting his arguments are meant to appeal to stupid people. You have to be intellectually deficient and incurious to be wooed by stuff like this. Do I want to watch the Tucker Carlson, Professor Jang stuff? I feel like Jang's going to be in the limelight for another 6 months, and then he'll be out.
I don't know a great deal about you, but I have seen a number of your videos in which you make remarkably accurate predictions. So that's what
I'm to reach a ceasefire, and this will have dramatic consequences on the global economy. And this war could drag on for years and years. Already, we're seeing major repercussions on the global economy in that flights are being canceled. In Southeast Asia, they ran out of fuel, so they're asking people to stay at home. And in a few more months, experts are predicting a food shortage.
So Americans have these ships, okay? Scrawl ship on the blackboard. Now these ships have a weakness, okay? And this weakness is anti-ship missiles. Scrawls missile on the blackboard. Mustafa Singh 6HY94X comments, I can't believe these lectures are free. Life-altering, thank you. Or that this or like weird anti-Semitic dog whistling in the comments, even on lectures that have nothing to do with Jews. You know? Professor Jang isn't suicidal. Look to who you can't criticize.
Meaning that nations will be forced into food rationing. And today, there's a major escalation in that the Israelis struck the largest gas field in Iran, and Iran retaliated by attacking energy infrastructure of the GCC. And Iran has stated that its purpose, its goal, its strategy is to move oil to $200 a barrel, which will have a really significant impact on the global economy because the entire global economy is based on access to cheap energy. So unfortunately, I think that we can expect this war to drag on for years and years. Eventually, America will send in ground troops. Eventually, the Strait of Hormuz will be contested. Eventually, this will spread all across the world.
How long do I have to go before he says something that you couldn't crib from reading like AP news headlines?
Eventually, other nations will be drawn in. So Saudi Arabia is thinking about declaring war on Iran, and Saudi Arabia has a mutual defense pact with Pakistan. So Pakistan will be drawn into this war.
No, the f*** it wouldn't. Are you insane? No country declares war anymore. Why the f*** would they do that? Are you insane?
So things are spiraling out of control. And just recently, Ali Larijani, who is the de facto head of the Iranian war effort, was assassinated. And he was a pragmatic elder statesman in Iran who had the authority to negotiate a ceasefire. Now that he's gone, there really is no more off-ramp. So both sides are committed to a long war of attrition, and the consequences for the entire global economy are quite dire.
That is... I wouldn't say that's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario would include a nuclear strike by one or more actors and the destruction of the Aqsa Mosque complex in Jerusalem, which would spark a religious war. So that's as bad as it could get. But you've just described one step before the worst, which is protracted, destructive, impossible to stop. So my question is, because there are so many global players, big global players, the U.S. and China, I think, who would be hurt by this, why is there not an incentive to get it settled quickly, and why can't that happen?
Right. So once this war starts, it achieves a momentum and a logic of its own. So the United States doesn't really have an off-ramp, meaning that if it tries to negotiate a ceasefire with Iran, Iran would ask for reparations, about $1 trillion, basically. It would ask for the United States to leave the Middle East.
You're right, this is boring. Yeah, sorry. It's true, though. Are we seeing the end of Europe? You know what? Sure. Yeah, just give me that. Are we seeing the end of Europe? Hit me with it. Go.
Right. So let's look at Europe. Because in 2014, this was a major turning point in Europe because you had these tens of millions of refugees trying to escape these wars in the Middle East, you know, created by America's wars in the Middle East. And they were trying to reach Europe. And at this point, Europe had a choice. It could choose to close its borders and maintain its cultural identity, or it could open the floodgates. And Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, she said something really, really famous and that which stuck in my mind, which is, we can do this. We are Europeans. Somehow we can take in these millions of refugees and welcome them into our societies and thrive as a people.
And they're calling it the one good thing Merkel ever did or said.
The complete opposite has happened. You've got millions of these refugees who fled into Europe, not because of their choice, by the way, but because their nations were devastated, right? Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq were all devastated in these wars against terror in the Middle East. So they go, and these are proud Islamists. They love their religion. They love their family. They love their community. And so they're not going to absorb themselves and assimilate themselves into Europe. And today, you know, you're looking at population replacement in a lot of cities. You go to
population replacement. I already said this guy's right wing. He literally is a Holocaust denier. It's just weird how many emails I got from people being like, dude, you should take a look at this guy, you know.
Certain places in Britain, and you might think you're in Cairo or Baghdad. And this has caused tremendous conflict throughout Europe. I wouldn't be surprised.
It really hasn't. The Western Europe has essentially decided to commit civilizational suicide by whiplashing over to the right in response to a slight increase in the demography of non-white Muslim people in their countries. The austerity and right-wing reactionary and xenophobic politics that they're engaging in are doing far more harm than the actual influx of refugees. Listen, refugees are definitionally inconvenient. These are like people fleeing a war. They're often poor. You know, they're in a bad way. When you take refugees into your country, you're doing it because you're being like humanitarian. You're not taking in like high value immigrants to fill some tech job. Obviously, there's going to be some social friction. That's normal. That's life. This is a demographic shift that, you know, in large part was caused by the West over there in Syria. Obviously, as we are with all things, we're responsible in part for what happened over there. But in the long run, you know, yeah, they're human beings. Don't know what to say.
If like 2 to 4 years time, you have civil war break out, insurgencies break out in places like Britain.
No, just insane. Just incomprehensibly retarded. Dude, race war any day now. I know I've been saying this for decades, but race war any day now. Just delusional. A few percentage points of the population are Muslim now. Race war any day now. It's just meaningless.
And France. So the question is, why is this happening throughout the world at the same time? Why isn't that these different nations, whether they're European, whether they're Canadian or Australian, why are they adopting the same policies? Not just in terms of COVID, right? But also in terms of
COVID? What? Because COVID hit the whole world? What do you mean? What?
In terms of like immigration.
They haven't. Australia doesn't have the same immigration policies as Germany at all. Australia is actually famously difficult to immigrate to. What are you talking about? Obviously, this is the great replacement rhetoric. This is, hey, isn't it fascinating how a secret cabal of people are forcing pro-immigration policies to demographically replace whites in all white European countries? That's like what he's saying. But this rhetoric is out of date, you know? Like this was the big talking point 5 or 10 years ago, but nowadays, not so much.
And so that's one of the great questions that we have to ask about the world we live in today. It seems as though it's almost a controlled demolition of Western civilization, right? The Anglosphere, Western Europe. It seems as though these nations are being destroyed purposely. For what end? I don't know.
But how interesting how this guy who's so great at predicting just stops making predictions right up where it allows him to dog whistle. Yeah, it's just, I'm just noticing all of these, the suicidal empathy of all white countries taking in some immigrants, like Australia, you know, famous for taking in tons of immigrants, from the Syrian refugee crisis.
But I would just say there's a certain pattern that has emerged, and the result can only end up in the controlled demolition of these societies.
I don't even think that's up for debate. I mean, of course, just look at the bottom line numbers, you know, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Just look at the numbers. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. 2 years away from a civil war in the United Kingdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The white populations are being killed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Race war. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. It's over. I'm dead.
On purpose. And the question is why? And I don't have the faintest idea.
Yeah. It's why, you know, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just got all the knowledge in the world, all the analysis. I'll say lots of insane stuff, but I don't know. I don't know who, what it's must be some kind of cabal, some shadowy group of people who are responsible for orchestrating this all across the Anglosphere, a very real term that white people use, you know? Yeah. You know, the Anglosphere, like France and Germany, the Anglo-Saxons in Germany.
And I know there's a lot of speculation as to who's doing it. I'll just say bluntly, I don't know.
Who's doing it? I don't know. It could be any shadowy, nefarious group of people that have infiltrated Western civilization and used the left as a weapon to encourage suicidal pro-immigration policies to replace the white race. If you look through historical precedent, I mean, it could be any group of people, really. I'm not going to say the race of the great replacement orchestrators. They were Jewish orchestrators. Right, right, right.
I mean, I know who the instruments are, of course, but Keir Starmer is not in charge of Great Britain. Macron isn't in charge of France. I'm not sure how many leaders really do have control of their countries. I don't know how many countries actually have sovereignty. I really don't know the...
So fucking embarrassing that Democrats are allowing this guy to be the only one who tells the truth about Israel, by the way. Like, literally, by virtue of lying on behalf of Israel, they're pushing thousands and thousands of people to a position where the only place to get, like, sane news on Israel is from this fucking Nazi grifter, you know? Super, super cool of the Dems. Like, anybody with any common sense could ask the questions that Tucker Carlson asked of the chief editor of The Economist, but only Tucker Carlson will. Has Tucker not reconciled? He's more aligned with leftists than Republicans when it comes to Israel. Tucker is a grifter. He just says stuff. He doesn't believe, he's not really anti-Zionist, and he's also not really a Nazi. He's just a grifter. His thoughts and his positions are immaterial.
Answer. But something is going on. Is there any precedent for this in history? Have you ever seen anything like this?
Have you ever seen large demographic shifts in history? Why, yes, every empire ever. But, you know, let's pretend not.
As a historian.
Right, so...
He's not a historian. He's a high school teacher.
You look at what's happening in Ukraine, where the war is lost. It was lost 2 years ago. The Ukrainians have lost over 1 million fighting men. A lot of their people have fled overseas. No matter what happens in this war, Ukraine is finished as a nation state. It is no longer viable as a nation state. And rather than admit defeat and come to a ceasefire with Putin, what the Europeans are doing is just...
Why? Because Tucker Carlson is a Russian state asset. So he's probably just, you know, his rhetoric aligns here. Also, Anglosphere, this is a very... Russian coded term. Like, white Western racists don't say Anglosphere. Why would they? Anglo-Saxons, that's just one tiny component of the broader white population.
Saying that we're going to draft our men and have them fight in the trenches of Ukraine, which would be suicide because the Russians dominate the battlefield with their drones and artillery.
This is so dated, dude. This is like rhetoric that's being dusted off from 3 years ago. Oh yeah, man, Ukraine has no chance. As if we haven't all watched Russia fucking trip over their shoelaces and stall out for years and years.
Trenches in Ukraine. So it's almost like a suicide mission. But not only that, but the Germans have said that, okay, we can only draft German men, but not Islamic men.
What?
Because we're afraid of their loyalty.
What the fuck is he talking about? Literally, what the fuck is he talking about?
Which means that you have a situation where, you know, local men, like British, French, German men, are being sent to die.
Local Ukrainian? What Ukrainian? What are you talking about? It's Ukraine. The Ukrainians are the ones who are fighting. What are you talking? The local British, the massive British, German, and French enclaves in Germany are getting sent to the front lines. The funny thing is, what he's saying is true for Russia. Russia puts their ethnic minorities to the front, so that the whitest Russians die last. They have selectively conscripted from the many non-white ethnic populations across their enormous country. Ukraine hasn't, because Ukraine is pretty much just full of Ukrainians.
Trenches of Ukraine, and you know, back at home, you have these immigrant population that have not assimilated into your culture. So it's a really weird strategy. And I don't know who comes up with these sort of with this sort of stuff. And look, there's no historical precedent for this. There just isn't. I mean, there's been incidents of mass immigration. You go back to the fall of the Roman Empire and how these you know, hordes of immigrants flooded the Romans, and it's
flooded the Romans. Yeah, man. This is like Stefan Molyneux stuff. Oh, yeah, man, the Roman Empire fell because of, like, immigrants or something. The empire that expanded and assimilated hundreds of ethnic groups all around the world, well, not all around, but, like, across the world, fell because of immigration. Yeah, that's totally, yeah, 100%. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like every alt-right YouTube talking point mixed together. I haven't heard these in a while. Tucker just gets to make this face the whole time. He's like, damn, it's like a rehash, you know?
Almost impossible to assimilate so many people. Eventually, there's going to be a cultural takeover.
Yeah, man, assimilate them into the Russian Empire. Is that how that worked? Assimilate into the Russian Empire? What does he think that, like, the entire Roman Empire was like Italy or whatever? Like, Rome expanded their cultural reach. It was an empire. It was multicultural. You didn't assimilate into a monoculture when you were conquered by Rome.
Eventually, with so many people who are insistent on maintaining their cultural identity, eventually, because they have more children than you, eventually they're going to overwhelm your cultural identity.
Yeah, and I do think that is the story of history, one population replacing another. There's no such thing as multiculturalism. There's always a dominant culture that, you know, that insists on dominance, of course. I just don't think there's ever been anyone who thought this could happen globally, like a systematic targeting of a race for elimination globally. I mean, it wasn't possible until pretty recently, but it would be interesting to know what the plan is. There's clearly like a plan behind that. There's a plan behind everything.
This is incorrect. Rome was a monoculture. I'm sorry, but you're just wrong. Rome governed in an authoritative manner, but it is not possible for an empire to be a monoculture. In fact, let me hit you with it. There has never been a monocultural empire and effectively never been a monocultural country in all of human history. Not once. The only true monocultures have maybe been city-states. Like, you might have to go to, like a Venetian, you know, like, maybe if you constrain it to that small of a community. But any time a collective identity expands beyond, like, what you can physically see if you stand on top of a hill and look around, you get a multicultural society. Of course, when Tucker Carlson says multicultural, what he means is multiracial. But culture and race aren't the same thing. Not even culture and ethnicity. Even if we eradicated somehow all non-white people in America, America would remain multicultural. Do you think the culture in New York City is the same as the culture in Louisiana? Even if we're just looking at white people? Do you think the Appalachian whites have the same culture as Angelinos? No, ridiculous. What he means, of course, is multiracial. So his statement, there's never been a multiracial society, obviously equally factually incorrect, but you know, it's nonsense. It's Joe Rogan slop. It's meant to appeal to people who have prior beliefs, prior convictions. But yeah, obviously, like again, my main hatred here, I guess, remains towards the Democrats, because right now Tucker Carlson is basically the only person who is pointing out the insane level of deference that everyone has shown towards Israel. The Democrats could do this, but they don't. And as a consequence, if you want somebody to speak truth to power on that specific subject, you have to go to Tucker Carlson. And then people are going to start saying, whoa, Tucker Carlson's more base than I thought. He's not right wing at all anymore. And then they're going to watch something like this. I know, Monty, you keep saying that. But those are subcultures, not different cultures. Meaningless. A meaningless semantic distinction. Literally not a thing. You could argue that like all different cultures are subcultures of some prior monoculture that encompassed everyone. That it doesn't mean anything. Like all Abrahamic cultures are different subcultures, but it's just not true. Culture is and always will be a nebulous term. So is ethnicity. What they're referring to is race.
Americans, do you think understand what's actually happening in the world right now?
You know, unfortunately, I think that if you are educated in America, you know, I went to Yale, and so I know a lot of these Ivy League people.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we've been indoctrinated to believe certain values. Yes. And these values are not questionable. So for example, there was a court case that went to the Supreme Court.
This is literally verbatim what I heard from the alt-right YouTube channels back like circa 2019. It's actually like point for point the exact same thing, you know? It's being revisited. Like, it's like this people credit this guy for being innovative. He's cribbing off of old material here.
About affirmative action at the University of Michigan. And affirmative action is clearly against American values, against the idea of American meritocracy, right? But the Supreme Court said that affirmative action was good because diversity is an inherent good. Okay. And it's interesting because if you go to a place like Yale or Harvard or any of these Ivy League schools, there's actually...
I can't believe I have to dust this off again, but like, no, the point of affirmative action was to counter existing discrimination and to encourage meritocracy. The argument was that systemic discrimination against certain groups, like the poor, for example, made it difficult to get the best from the best if they were disadvantaged to begin with. Or in other words, you might have a wealthy child who is like fucking 110 IQ get into Yale rather than a 140 IQ poor kid because the poor kid's too busy working two extra jobs to pay for their like mom's medical bills or whatever. The point of affirmative action is to counter existing bias so that you can promote meritocracy. Obviously, again, I feel stupid like bringing it up. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. This is for very low IQ people, I suppose, this kind of content. We were literally talking about this earlier. By the way, for some reason, people who complain about affirmative action never complain about the practice that universities have, especially high-end universities like Yale, of giving free ride scholarships to the poor. Interesting, because that is a kind of affirmative action. You all realize that, right? Like giving free rides to people who can't pay because they're poor. You're literally basing off of a demographic characteristic of that person. You're giving them a free ride. Why are they have a problem with that. They don't have a problem with that, but they seem to have a problem with like race-based affirmative action, even though the principle is literally the same.
Very little diversity. I'm talking about intellectual diversity.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's different skin color, but if you actually look at the ideas that they engage with in a classroom, it's a very conformist setting. So it's one of these.
This guy's Chinese, by the way. As he talks about conformity in education, this guy's Chinese, by the way.
It's great ironies where affirmative action is supposed to bring diversity to the classroom. But if you go to any classroom in an elite setting, it's extremely conformist. You're not allowed to bring up these issues about, you know, population replacement, immigration.
What the fuck do you mean you're not? You're at a university. What, me and my stats 101 class? Can we talk about the demographic replacement of white people? No, we're actually going to stick to the curriculum today. Okay. What the fuck? They don't, that's the problem. They don't let you talk about how the Holocaust was faked in your fucking chem classes, you know?
Because then you'd be called a racist. And that's the worst thing to be called, right? It's, I mean, like, you're better off being called a pedophile, yes. Right? Pedophiles have more rights now than racists.
What does he mean by this? What a fascinating self-inflict. Even Tucker's like, where are we going with this man?
Unfortunately, it's not just what's happening in current events. It's also what's happening in the classroom where and in the popular culture where people are not even allowed to ask questions that are like blindly obvious if you just walk the streets of any, you know, Western city.
You walk the streets of a Western city and you see black people, but at the universities, you can't even raise your hand and ask about why not make all white country? Why not make white country all in white? Why not? Professor Jiang, if we were doing the race-based deportations, I know who's up first. That's all I got to say.
You've lived around the world. I think you're now in China. Does the rest of the world see this more clearly?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not in the West and if you're not subjected to this brainwashing, indoctrination that they feed you in the schools, it's obvious. Again, it's blinding obvious to anyone.
I'm going to close it here because, again, this is like genuinely a waste of my time. Everyone who recommended me this guy or emailed me, you are stupid. And you can fix that. You can correct your own brain with some work. But this is meant to appeal to stupid people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan. It's not just that the facts he's issuing are incorrect. It is that his cadence, his delivery, and the way he's presenting his arguments are meant to appeal to stupid people. You have to be intellectually deficient and incurious to be wooed by stuff like this. Even if you were not familiar with any of the facts that he's saying, unfamiliar with American university culture, the way he's presenting his arguments should already make it incredibly obvious. Like, it's like a joke, you know? Genuinely, you get more intelligent Nazi propaganda from Tucker Carlson. You get it better from Nick Fuentes. If you're really duped because he's like a humble Chinese professor, like you're actually a simpleton and you shouldn't be allowed to vote. Yeah, but Vosh reacting to Jiang is hilarious content. It's hilarious to you because maybe you didn't watch my content back in the day, but this is like really boring 101 stuff. Like it would be like if I was a professional basketball player and people were really, really entertained by me dunking on like middle schoolers on the court or something. Like, not to talk myself up too much or whatever, but this is genuinely really boring and poorly, like almost every Nazi YouTuber that I responded to did a better job making these points. He's incoherent. He's all over the place. He's not selling the point very well. He's just this gesture. At the universities, they don't even let you talk about demographic replacement. What the fuck are you talking about? It's not substantiated at all. It's meaningless. The long 2016. He'll probably be irrelevant in 6 months. Maybe not. We do live in the bad timeline.